Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Gemara 4 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches at the beginning of the Gemara section following the Mishnah. The topic that we open with is featured on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, our topic heading. We've written Nesinoso L'Soich Mayim Zuhi Lishoso, the placing of an item in water, or the pouring of water over it, that itself is considered its lisha, its kneading. Let it be said that the act of kneading is one of the lamites ovus molochus. Not only is flour and water a substance that needed, but there are many other substances that are subject to kneading. There are cases where, and that's what our Gemara features, the adding of water to the substance itself is considered the lisha, its kneading. Now, we have a few examples in our Mishnah where it said, ain shorin. Shorin is to soak something. Ain shorin dio v'samonim v'karshinim elokdei shishomu bo yom. In other words, we have a process here that we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah, where Beis Shammai was insistent that it be completed before the onset of Shabbos. There's no reference to any kneading, it's just the soaking of those items. And we see from here this concept that the adding of the water, the mixing of the item, or should say the placing of the item in the water itself, is considered its kneading. So the Gemara asks, Man Tano Nesinas Mayim Lidio, who is the Tana that would hold that the adding of water to ink? We're talking about ink in its, we'll call it, raw form, where before it becomes useful, it has to have water added to it. So that Zuhi Shriyosan, that is considered its, literally, its soaking, but for our purposes, it means its kneading. If we look in the Rashi, where we've underlined the Dibur HaMaskel, Man Tano Nesinas Mayim Lidyo, V'afal Pishalo Gibel HaDyo, even though he didn't, Gibel means need, even though he didn't need the Dyo, the ink, Zuhi Shriyosan, V'hapi Lisha Didei V'hochi, this is its kneading, U'mechayev Mishim Losh, and he's guilty of the primary Molocha, the Av Molocha of Losh, D'ho Masnisen Leko Gibel, the Mishnah does not feature kneading, V'afligu Bo Miba'od Yom. And the argument concerns how much time Erev Shabbos are we allowing for it. We can infer from this that if it were done on Shabbos itself, everyone would agree there would be a guilt offering, a sin offering needed if someone did so unwittingly on Shabbos day. So the question is asked, who is the Tana that holds of this idea of the simple adding of the substance to the water is its kneading? Omar Rav Yosef. Now Rav Yosef suggests, Rebbe he, that this is in accordance with Rebbe. A few lines later, we'll see Abaye enters the picture and suggests that, why do you limit it to Rebbe? Maybe it would be according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda as well. So in the meantime, Rabbi Yosef says this is Rebbe, the Sanya. We have a Tanaic source in which you will see two opinions featured, and we'll be focusing initially on Rebbe. It says, Echod nosein es hakemach ve'echod nosein es hamayim. One places flour in a bowl, and the other pours water into the bowl. Ho'achron chayov, divrei Rebbe. The second one, the one who put the water in, will be guilty. This, of course, if it takes place on Shabbos, he'll be guilty for lush. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Omer, Eino Chayav Ad Shigabel, that he's not Chayav until he kneads it. In other words, the adding of the water alone wouldn't be sufficient to create guilt, but you'd have to Yigabel, knead it as well. Amalei Abaye, Abaye raises a question, V'dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yossi elu bekemach debar gibol hu. Maybe the statement or the position of Rabbi Yossi Yehuda is only with regard to flour, in that it is something that is subject to kneading, and therefore if it lacks that, so it's not, he's not guilty. Avol dio delav bar gibol hu, but dio isn't something that you need. The in the process of making the ink, all you do is you add the water and let it sit for a while, and then it becomes useful. So it's not something that it lends itself to kneading. Emo lechayev, maybe Rabbi Yossi Rebuta as well would be mechayev. And then we don't have to say that our Mishnah is according to a singular opinion, that of Rebbe. So the Rav Yosef answers, Lo salka daitoch, you can't think thusly. Desanyop, you have the following source, which will be hopefully clear, but the Gemara, there'll still be an asking on this. And you'll see that this Gemara, we should point out, is characterized by a give and take structure, which we note with this geometric form that repositions itself as a question and answer appears. So we have marked the question of Abaye. You can see with this trapezoid form, with the narrow part facing upwards, that is a question. And here you have a response with the narrow part of the trapezoid facing downwards. So the response is, don't think what you just said. Lo salka daitoch. Desanya, echod noisin es ha'efer, ve'echod noisin es ha'mayim, ha'achron chayov divrei Rebbe. If you have one person placing efer, is ash, is after something is burnt, it turns to ash, and then someone places water. So the now there is an assumption here that efer is lav bar gibol hu, and you see that the second person is chayav. That's divrei Rebbe. That's consistent with Rebbe before. And more importantly for us right now is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ad Shigabel. So here we've dashed, underlined Rabbi Yossi, so he's the focus of our discussion right now, and he says until it's needed. So here you have a lav bar gibol, something that you don't ordinarily need, and he says you wouldn't be chayv until you need it. The Gemara asks, and here you have again the, notice our geometric form repositions itself, a question. The Dilma Mai Efer, maybe Efer in this source, Ofar Debar Gibol Hu, is really dirt. And dirt is something that does lend itself to being kneaded with water. So maybe the reason that he says that your Chayav is only until you knead it is because you're dealing with something that's a Bar Gibol. But as Rebbe, as Abaye suggested earlier, if it were a non-bar gibol, even he would agree the adding of the water is enough to mechayev. So the Gemara responds, v'hotanya, to suggest that Efer is offer just with this minor aleph ayin interchange, or we'll say interchange, v'hotanya, but we have another we have other sources, Votanya Efer, Votanya Ofar. There are two separate sources, one discussing Efer and one discussing Ofar. And in both of these sources, they're presented here as one word sources, but it really, they're not one word sources. They're elaborate, like we just learned. And in both of the sources, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda takes the same stance that there is no guilt until you actually need it, and we emphasize the Afer source, that even in the Afer source, which is a lav bar gibol, you have to, you wouldn't be chayv until you need it. So now we have a response. And notice with our markings how beneficial these markings are. We end off the discussion now with the trapezoid form, the volcano shape, facing upwards. Midi Gabi Hadodi Tanya. Are both of these sources taught in the in order, both of these examples, Afer and Ofar, taught in the same source? They're not taught in the same source. See, if they were taught in the same source, that's Gabi Hadodi Tanya. If they were taught in the same source, then we would be sensitive to the difference between Afer and Ofar, ash versus dirt. And we could make the point that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is lenient and says there's no chiyuv, there's no guilt until you actually need it. But the terms Afer and Ofar are not taught in the same source. They're taught as two separate sources, two separate Tanaic sources. And as a result of that, it could be that both are referring to dirt, neither one referring to ash. And the author of the one that wrote it with an aleph, he simply was, we'll say, not being precise, allowing for the aleph to be interchanged for an ayin, but it really refers to dirt. And that being the case, it could be that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda himself, if he were talking about actual ash, would in fact say there's a chiyuv like Rebbe for the mere adding of water to it without actually needing it. So we leave you off in this discussion with this possibility, contrary to what Rav Yosef's position had been. Or we could say more likely, like Abaye had been suggesting. Because, once again, Rabbi Yosef's position was that the adding of water alone will create chiyuv. That's only according to Rebbe. Whereas we're leaving the Gemara, this discussion, off with the feeling that, no, when you're dealing with substances that are lav bar yibul, it could be that there's chiyuv even in a case where it could be the adding of the water is a chiyuv according to everybody. If, of course, you're dealing with something that's a lav bar gibel. The Gemara continues. Before we read the Gemara inside, let's glance at the side where we have our topic heading, and we've written under the nosei pu'ulos. These are actions or activities, shemuter lahaschilon erev Shabbos, that's muter to start them on erev Shabbos, v'yamshichu lifoil b'Shabbos, and they'll continue through Shabbos. And this idea we've seen with examples in our Mishnah as already, and here we have a Tanaic source, Tonu Rabbanan. Poskin mayim legino erev Shabbos im chashecha. Poskin is spelled here with a kuf, but it also can be understood as poskin, opening up. To open up a water source, a channel, and that will now allow flow of the water into a field, or in this case a garden. So one can open up the flow of water, Erev Shabbos, right before darkness, before Shabbos sets in. Umismalis voleches kol hayom kulo. And the garden will fill with water throughout Shabbos day. Now, it goes without saying that watering, that someone take a bucket or a pail and water one's field or plants on Shabbos day is strictly forbidden. It's a violation it's called a tolda of zriya, of zorea. It promotes growth, and hence it's forbidden on Shabbos. Here he set up the mechanism Erev Shabbos, starting the water flow Erev Shabbos, and the water flow will continue through Shabbos. Maybe this reminds many of you of a sprinkler system that's on a timing device, where one sets up the apparatus Erev Shabbos, and it will continue to work through Shabbos. Continuing in the Gemara, Umanichem Mugmar Tachas HaKelim, Umizgamrin V'Hoychen Kol Hayom Kulo. Looking at Rashi, Mugmar, Levona, Umini, Besomim, these are spices, Noisim al-Ho'esh, spices that would be placed on fire. Uma'ashnin habgolim she'reicha nodev. As the spices burn, they produce a smoke, a sweet-smelling fragrance or odor that would be absorbed in clothing. That's the process of mugmar, so that this process can be set up Erev Shabbos and will continue to smoke through Shabbos. The next example, umanichin gofris tachas hakelim. One would place gofris. Gofris is a mineral substance that is associated with silver vessels, that there was some type of decorations drawn or illustrated on the silver vessels, and the adding of this gofris smoking process would make for it that the different drawings that were etched or drawn onto the silver vessels would become indelible, or they would become prominent. Rashi says, "Mashkiros vinikoros." They would become blackened and obvious, and become clear. So this is a gofris process, and one can set up the gofris smoking process erev Shabbos, and umizgafrin v'hochin kol Shabbos kulo, and the smoking of these silver vessels would continue through Shabbos. Umanichem kilor algabi ho'ayin v'isplanis algabi mako. Here are two health-related matters, where one places kilor is a type of substance, and Rashi says we would place it on a tachboshes, on a bandage, and isplanis is also a type of bandage. Rashi uses the term ritia, and this would be placed on an injury erev Shabbos. Umisrapis v'holeches kolem kulo, and the medicinal value of this application would be felt throughout Shabbos. It should be pointed out that dealing with medicines and potions on Shabbos day itself is something forbidden. And that's forbidden because a person might come to grind the different substances that are used in making the medicines. And that grinding is an Isur of Tochein, which is one of the Ovis Molochis. So here, again, you're setting up a health situation, a medicinal apparatus, and it will continue to benefit the patient throughout Shabbos. Avol. Now here we have a qualification. And we've squiggled under the Avol so that you can clearly see this transition in the source between that which was allowed and now something forbidden. Avol ein noisin chitin l'socha rechaim shomayim ela b'chdei shi'tachanu miba'o yom. A person is not allowed to place wheat grains in a grinder that's operated by water flow, a water wheel that would activate a grinder, unless the grinding would be completed Erev Shabbos. In other words, we don't want the grinder operating throughout Shabbos. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note on the side, because shortly we'll see triangles appearing. And we've written on the side, Chipus Achrei Tam Lomo Shelo Yifalu Rechaim B'Meshach Shabbos. We're looking for reasons why one should not have a grinder operate throughout Shabbos. So, Omar Rabo in our Gemara, the first triangle, B'Nei Shemam Mashmas Koil. It's noisy. In other words, you're setting up an apparatus that will produce noise through Shabbos. And we don't want that. It's not honorable to Shabbos to have something that is mashmia koil. One could suggest other problems behind mashmas koil, but for our purposes right now, we're just going to say that in and of itself is a problem, something that's noise producing operating throughout Shabbos. The Omar Le Rav Yosef Le Momor Mishum Shvisas Kalim Desanya. Why don't you suggest that the prohibition is that one's vessels must be at rest during Shabbos? At rest meaning not involved in productive activity. In other words, in addition to the fact that a person must cease and desist from creative activities, and we know that a person's animals even cannot be involved on Shabbos during Shabbos with creative activities, with molochos, Rav Yosef says, well, why not say the same thing with regard to vessels? Desanyo, and here we have a Tanaic source that says, "Uvchol asher amarti aleichem tishmeru." This pasuk leRabbis Shavisas Kalim comes to include the necessity of one's vessels coming to a halt. So Rav Yosef's question to Rav is, why do you mention Mashmas Koil? You could have mentioned this problem of Shvisas Kalim. Rashi points out that prior to this, the Pasuk says, Leman Yanuach Shorcha V'chamorcha. As we mentioned before, the reference to one's animals being in a state of non-activity on Shabbos, non-creative activity, or as is often translated, or possibly mistranslated, be in a state of rest. Continuing in the Gemara, El Amar of Yosef, Mishum Shvisas Kalim, the prohibition in the source just above, with regard to the grinder, is that one's vessels, in this case his grinder, must be at a state of non-activity. The Gemara now continues by taking a certain stance, and note, before we go on in the Gemara, that we have an aleph to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is the first of two approaches to this matter of Shvisas Kalim. The first approach suggests that this prohibition, known as Shvisas Kalim, is something that Beis Hillel subscribes to. We have a Tanaic source above with the grinder. You remember where we emphasized the word avol, we squiggle on that, underline that. That source, that entire source, is assumed right now to be authored by Beis Hillel. And how do we know that it is according to Beis Hillel? Because the Reisha, the beginning part of the source, had made a number of allowances. You could set up a lot of things to work, to operate, to continue through Shabbos. And only with regard to the grinder was there prohibition. If that source were authored by Beis Shammai, so one would have assumed that none of the above-mentioned activities would have been allowed. So now that we're saying that the source is a Beis Hillel source, but Beis Hillel subscribes to the concept of Shvisas Kalim, then it will be obligatory upon us to explain the earlier part of the source where there were, in fact, allowances. The Gemara. V'hashto di'amres l'Beis Hillel islihu shvisas kalim d'oraisa. And now that we've established, even though no names appeared in the source above, but we're establishing that that source is according to Beis Hillel, as we pointed out, because there were allowances in the Reisha, and we're explaining the Seifa with the grinder as based on Shvisas Kalim, and Rav Yosef pointed out that it was a pasuk in the Torah, indicating that it's a Torah-based prohibition. Gofris umugmar mai taim asharu. Before we go on in the Gemara, just glance at the outside, the margin where we have our no say. Our topic heading, we've also indicated Hemshef, this is a continuation. E Savri, if one holds Dekayim Din Shvisas Kalim, then Yesh Lahasbir Loma Kol HaPu'ulos Shehuzkru Leil Mutorois. If you hold from Shvisas Kalim, then we'll have to explain why all the above mentioned activities are allowed. So as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice that we've underlined a number of different activities. These are things that we saw mentioned above in the source, in the Tanaic source, and also we're going to refer to things that we saw in the Mishnah back on Yud Zayin Amid Beis, on the previous Amid that we learned in our previous Shiur. So the Gemara continues. Gofres umugmor maitai masharo. If Shvisas Kalim is in fact a reality, so then why is the Gofres and Mugmor process allowed? And you'll notice Gofres and Mugmor were mentioned. We had them underlined in the source just above. This has to do with the two different kinds of smoking situations, the gofres for the silver vessels and the mugmor for the fragrance imparted into clothing. Why are they allowed? Answer, Mishum Delo Ka'ovid Maisa. Because everything is static. There's no action taking place. Rashi says, the second line under the Gemara, the lo kovid akli shumaisa, the vessel involved is not doing any action. Elo munoch al haaretz, the kli, the vessel holding the coals, is the coals with the different substances that are burning is sitting on the ground. The hang besocho and the materials inside. Abo harechaim avdi maisa, the grinder is in motion. According to Beis Shammai, on the other hand, that would be it would be forbidden because the mere static situation is its maisa. That's the way it's designed. So Beis Shammai emphasizes more of the what it's designed for, and Beis Hillel looks at more of the he looks at the action, the result. So now we continue in the Gemara. Unin shall pishdon my time asharu. The Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis featured the placing of the flax stalks in an oven so they become whitened. So why is that allowed? Why does the Mishnah allow that? If you hold that shvisas kalim is a prohibition, answer mishum delo ovid maisa umeinach naicha. There is no action taking place. It is still, meinach, literally, it's at rest. It's static. Question, mitzudas chaya v'oif v'dogim. These are various kinds of animal traps. If you can imagine, nets that are placed out, and when an animal enters them, or a fish enters them, the net closes upon them. The ka'ovid maisa. So what we just described is the movement of the net closing upon the animal. Once it jumps, it enters the trap. My time is short. So why does the Mishnah allow that? The Gemara answers: Hosam nami belechi v'kukri delo ka'ovid maisa. The Mishnah, when it says setting up traps, are talking about those kind of traps that there is no motion involved. They remain static. For example, a fish hook. The hook is not in movement, per se. The fish simply swallows the bait that's on it and gets caught on the hook. Rashi describes a case where the vessel doesn't move whatsoever. So, and the kukri is also an interesting type of vessel which has seems to have a wide opening on one end and it's narrow on the other. It's almost a cone-shaped vessel, and the fish would swim into it, and as it swims into the wide entrance, continuing through till the narrow entrance, and it's so narrow that the fish's head it will enter it, but if it tries to reverse itself, the prongs at the end of the narrow end will catch the fish, and the fish will be caught there. So that's a case of the lechi, or the hooks, and the kukri, or this device we just described, that are themselves motionless. It's the animal that is doing the motion. So that's the case of mitzudas chaya v'yof v'dogim that the Mishnah mentioned, that is what is allowed to be set up Erev Shabbos. The Gemara continues now. Now, you'll see we have a squiggle underline. This introduces the second approach that we mentioned before. The first approach being according to that Shvisas Kalim was according to Beis Hillel, and the second approach according to Beis Shammai. We have noted on the side under our Mivneh heading this structure, where we've written Shvisas Kalim Havi Alibo Aleph de Beis Hillel, that was the first approach, and Beis de Beis Shammai. And what we've done also in the text, you can see we've dashed, underlined these points. So now we learn the Gemara, Vahashto di Omar of Oshaya Omar of Asi, Man Tano Shvisas Kalim de Reiso Beis Shammai Hi Voloi Beis Hillel. The author of the idea that Shvisas Kalim is strictly according to Beis Shammai and not according to Beis Hillel, That would mean that the source above, in which we spoke about poiskin mayim legino, etc., and where there were a number of things that were allowed, and then the grinder was not allowed, we're saying that's according to Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. And according to Beis Shammai, the Beis Shammai bein ka'ovid ma'isa bein deloy ka'ovid ma'isa aser. As far as Beis Shammai is concerned, whether an action is done or even if it's static, we will forbid it because. Now, how do we know that point? Because in the Mishnah we know that they aser the unin shel pishtan case. Now, if that's the case, then we have a lot of explaining to do. So as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, whether an action is done or even if it's static, it will be forbidden. The Beis Hillel afagav de ka'ovid ma'isa shori. And in contrast, according to Beis Hillel, even if an action does take place, it will be allowed. V'hashto di'amris Beis Shammai afagav de lo ka'ovid ma'isa osir. And now that we're saying, according to Beis Shammai, even without an action taking place, things are forbidden. Ihachi. We continue at the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis, Mugmar V'Gofris, my time of Shoru Beis Shammai. We have an arrow indicating Yud Ches Amud Aleph. This is pointing to the Tanaic source that you saw in the upper half of Amud Aleph. You can see a corresponding arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text back on Amud Aleph. Why are those allowed? So the Gemara answers a very simple answer, because there's no vessel involved. Hosam monach ha'ara, the coals with the spices and fragrances are on the, they're directly on the ground, so there's no vessel involved. Question: Gigis, Veneer, Ukidera, Ushpud. Here we have individual words, but they all represent different examples, different topics. My time is Shoru Beis Shammai. We go through a few of these by looking at the Rashi. Second line from the top, Gigis. Gigis is a barrel. Shehashechor besocho, the beer manufacture takes place inside of it. V'efshar l'shovcho l'aretz, you can't make beer on the ground. V'hasorim nishorim kol shabbos yoser mishmoyni yomim. The sorim are the barley, which is the, we'll call the raw material, which ferments into beer. It sits there for more than 8 days, which will include a Shabbos. V'hashabbos bichlal. If you have something sitting there for more than 8 days, so a Shabbos is going to be involved. V'chein ner hadolek b'Shabbos. What about a candle that is, you have a wick sitting in oil, burning through Shabbos? Obviously, that can't be on the ground. V'chein kedera, shalgabi kira, a pot. That is obviously a vessel that's sitting on the fire in which food is cooking. It's impossible that it doesn't literally shrivel up, but it means improve, that as food, the longer the food cooks and it contracts, it gets better tasting. So it, as that takes place through Shabbos, and cooking is also an av malacha. Shpud hamunach betanur, and likewise a skewer that's or a spit that's placed in an oven that the meat roasts on it over coals. K'disam shalshin as a bezach v'lo pligi Beis Shammai. When it comes to the preparation of the korban Pesach, you can lower a spit with the lamb on it or the goat on it on Shabbos, or as you set it up Erev Shabbos, and it will roast through Shabbos. And we see Beis Shammai allows that. What about all of these things then? The nair, the gigas, the barrel of the beer manufacturer, the nair, the candle, the ktera, the food that's cooking, and the shpud, the spit with the food, with the meat roasting on it. Why does Beis Shammai allow all of these things? And they're all vessels. Answer, the mafkir luhu afkuri, because the owner declares them unowned. So there's no one that's actually commanded regarding their shvisa. So if the vessels are unowned, the procedures can take place without having anyone in violation because there's no owner involved anymore with regard to the vessels. They were declared hefker. We go on in the Gemara with the search for authorship of a source, and we have this listed as our topic heading on the side: Chipus Achar Tana Sheoser Hanochas Tvorah Misyomim Betanur Lifnei Knesis Shabbos. Who will the author of the following source, where there is a prohibition of placing things in an oven Erev Shabbos? For them to continue in the oven through Shabbos. So here the source begins, and we also noted a long question marking. You can see the shin, a she'ela, with a descending vertical dashed line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating the length of this. So it says, Lo samale isha kedera asosios v'turmosin. Asosios v'turmosin are types of vegetation that require very long cooking. Rashi calls them mine kitnios, and if you translate kitnios as legumes, so you'll be a little closer to appreciating what they are. But for us, the principle is what's important, and it's vegetation that requires lengthy cooking, more than other food items. So the source says a woman should not fill up a pot with these things and put them in the tanur, in the oven, Erev Shabbos, im chashecha, close to the beginning of Shabbos, the im nosnan, and if she did that, in other words, she violated our rule and placed them Erev Shabbos in the tanur, lemotsoi Shabbos asurin b'chdei shiasu. It will be forbidden to benefit, partake of these asosius and turmusin on Saturday night, in other words, even though Shabbos has finished, it will be also to partake of them the amount of time it takes for them to cook. That's b'chdei shiasu, the amount of time it would take for them to get ready, so as to ensure that the person is not benefiting from the fact that it was done on Shabbos. In other words, he's not saving any time, because we're going to make him wait after Shabbos this amount of time known as b'chdei shiasu, the amount of time it would take for it to get done. Kayotze bo, similarly, lo yemale nachto im chovis shomayim v'yoniach l'socha tanur, Erev Shabbos im chashecha. A nachtom is a baker, should not place water in an oven Erev Shabbos, close to the onset of Shabbos. Ve'im also came, and if he did do that, then mosoi Shabbos asur mechdei shiasu, then, as we saw just before, he will not be able to benefit from these heated waters Saturday night, the amount of time it would take for the water to heat up. So, lema beis shamayi velo beis hillel, should we say that this source is in accordance with beis shamayi and not in accordance with beis hillel? And we can assume, like we learned just before this, beis shamayi would be the candidate because they're the ones that hold from shvisas kelim, and not beis hillel, of course, following the second lashon in the Gemara on Amud Aleph. The Gemara answers, afilu teimo beis hillel, this specific source which dealt with a tanur, both cases featured an oven, can be explained in accordance with beis hillel, gezeira shemo yechateh b'gecholim. We prohibit placing these things in the oven, because if you do this, a person may come to stoking the coals in order to hasten things up. So Beis Hillel will impose a restriction where there is a fear that the person may come to stoke the coals. The Gemara, has just now introduced a new topic. It's a major topic in the general realm of Meleches Bishul. And on the side of the Gemara, we say Meleches Bishul, we also intend to include things like Shehiyah and Hachzorah, which are, in Shulchan Aruch, they actually appear as separate simonim, but For our purposes right now, we'll deal with them in under the general heading of Bishul. On the side of the Gemara, you see we have a Nosei, a topic heading, and we've indicated the following. Gezeirah Shema Yechta B'Kecholam. We're introducing this rabbinic ruling, prohibiting different things because of the fear a person may come to stoke the coals. Marking-wise, we have a double underline that appears, and an explanation that follows. The double underline, of course, represents a series marking, something that appears a couple of times. So, Hesber Pu'ulos Shonos, we're going to explain, we're going to need to explain different activities, Shemutoros, that are allowed, Lamroz Shenir Esh, Yesh Chashash Yechte, Shemo Yechte B'Gecholim. Even though there is a potential fear of someone stoking the coals. As you can see, what we've double underlined, you have Mugmor and Gofris, the Unin Shel Pishton case, and a new case that meaning that we didn't mention in today's shir yet, but was in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Beis, Semer Liyore, the Gemara. Ihachi, if it's so that there's a chashash chitu gecholim, according to Beis Hillel, so. Mugmor v'gofris, the examples that we saw in the Brisa back on Omid Aleph of Mugmor and Gofris, Nami Lixor, they should be prohibited. The Gemara answers, Hosam lo machti lahu. He will not come to stoke them. He won't want to. He is actually deterred from stoking them. The imachti, if he stokes the coals in those cases, Solik buhu kutra v'koshi lahu. There will be an excessive amount of smoke, and that will darken, will blacken the clothing, or in the case of the silver vessels, I guess it will create too much blackness, which is something that's undesirable. So he is deterred from stoking the coals in that case, therefore we can allow it. Unin shel pishton, question here, unin shel pishton. This was mentioned in the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Beis, and Beis Hillel was matir this, nami ligzar, that should be forbidden. The Gemara answers, the Unin Shel Pishton, of course, was the case of the flax stalks that were placed in the oven. So the Gemara answers, hosam kiva de koshi luhu zika lo maglu le. There, the zika is the wind, that by opening the oven, you're causing a rush of wind, and that ruins the process, so he won't open the oven to stoke the coals that are located at the base of the oven. Question, Semer Liyora Ligzar, this was a case of placing wool in a cauldron in order to absorb dye, which Beis Hillel said you can set that up Erev Shabbos. And, well, isn't there room for a gzera? Omar Shmuel, B'yoyra Akura, the Mishnah is speaking about a yora that is removed from the fire. It's not sitting on the fire anymore. Question, V'nechu Shemo Megisba, why not suspect that he may come to stir it? We're dealing with dyes in a liquid form in a pot. Maybe that is a concern, they'll come to stir it. And in the realm of things that are cooked, and here we're dealing with cooking of the dyes, that is a problem of bishul, of cooking. The Gemara answers, ba'akura v'tucha. It's not only off the fire, that's akura, but it's also tucha, it's sealed. The pot, the cauldron, is covered. So he won't peel off the cover in order to stir it, and all of that, if he were, let's say, to forget himself, so in the meantime, while he's peeling off the cover, he'll remember that it's Shabbos, and he won't come to Magus either. Now, we continue in the Gemara. We have a new geometric form for this Omid, and it's a triangle. You'll notice on the side, we have featured the triangle. The Hashta de Omar Mor, the triangles highlight these expressions. These are maskonos al pi hanemar neil. These are conclusions that we reach based on the Gemara previously. So the first triangle introduces the premise that there is a gezeru shem yachta b'gecholem, and the second triangle introduces the principle of kol midi de koshi le zika lo maglu le, situations where the wind is injurious, so a person is deterred from opening things. As we continue, we'll also notice a series marking of diamonds. So they feature, and we've indicated, matzavim shonim, bebishul kedero, different situations in cooking food in a pot. And these different situations are biyachas l'chashash shema yechid b'cholim. These are a list of different situations that we want to investigate in the context of the fear of coming to stoke coals. We'll notice under the next triangle heading a series of double underlines, which in which the Gemara features two lashonos. By the way, there's a lashon 1 and 2, and you'll see that it's a series of we'll call it different examples, meat analysis, working under the heading of Zika, the issue of the wind and its potential for being injurious. We continue in the Gemara. V'hashta de'omar mar, gzera shemo yechte b'gecholim. You notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above. You can see that's where we introduce this gzera, the fear someone may come to stoke coals. So that having been said, that there is such a consideration, and we said that was even according to Beis Hillel, that one must concern himself the possibility of someone stoking coals. Hai kedera chaisa, a pot of raw meat. Chaisa is raw, something uncooked. Shori lanucha erev Shabbos im chashecha betanura. A person can place it erev Shabbos, even though it's close to Shabbos, close to the onset of Shabbos, in an oven, and leave it there, and there is no fear of him coming to stoke the coals. My taima. And why is that? Answer: Kevon delo chazi luurta. Asuchi masach daite mine velo osi lechdui gecholem. Since, as we said, it's raw, and it won't be ready that evening. In other words, it takes a fair amount of time to cook. It will take till tomorrow morning, till the Shabbos morning, for it to be ready. So a person doesn't even think about it. It's called mesach daita. He removes his mind from it, and therefore he isn't concerned with hastening the cooking, which anyway takes all night, and therefore it's allowed. He won't come to stoke the coals. Let's glance at Rashi. Hai kedera chayso shapir domi. Rashi, you'll see, just across from here a few lines up. He says, shapir domi la shoiso lechatchila. It's okay to put it initially, to put it in this position where it's in the oven, it will cook through the night. If he was placing a pot of raw meat in an oven right before Shabbos, it's clear that his intention was not to eat it that night. And as far as having it ready the next day, lo osi lechduye, he won't come to stoking. Share yesh lo sheus godol, there is enough time anyway for it to be ready even without his stoking of the coals. Velo domi la asosius v'turmusin, and it's not similar to the cases of the asosius and turmusin that were mentioned four lines from the top of this omid, in which we said that one should not put the asosius and turmusin in the oven erev Shabbos im chashecha, even according to Beis Hillel. And why is kedera chayso, the raw pot of raw meat, different than the asosius and turmusin? She'ein kol halayla v'hayom dai lohen. They require so much time for cooking that in an unstoked situation, a complete night and day, it will not be enough time for them to be ready. So that unless one were to stoke the coals to increase the heat level, they won't be ready. Therefore, you don't have this hesech hadas factor that we mentioned with the case of the k'tera chaisa. And you don't have the time factor on your side either. Turning back to the Gemara. Uboshil shapir domi. Boshil means something that is completely cooked. It is okay to leave it in the oven because he has no need to stoke the coals. Rashi says, Uboshil shapir domi, mevusheles kol tzorcha, shapir domi lohanicho de loboi chituye. Something that is completely cooked, there is no problem with leaving it in an oven. He won't come to stoking. If any increase in the heat will probably come to ruin the food that's already completely cooked. The next example, boshil velo boshil, osir. The food that's partially cooked, there's where you run into a problem. If it's a pot of partially cooked food, we have the problem of shemo yechet begecholim. If, however, he puts into the pot of partially cooked food a piece of raw meat, then it will be okay. By the fact that he placed the raw meat in it, it shows us that he's not interested in eating the meat, eating the contents of this pot that evening. Now we continue with the next triangle, introducing the other halachic point, and you'll notice we have a little star to the immediate right hand side of the moral text, and you can see where this is coming from by aligning it with the star above. Fahasha do amamar kol midi dekoshi le zika lo maglu le. And now that we've established above in our explanation of why Beis Hillel, though they are worried with Gezeirah Shem Yechad B'Gecholim, nevertheless will allow the case of Unin Shel Pishtan, because of this principle that things that are injured, ruined by a rush of wind, people will not expose them, and in this case exposing, opening the oven and exposing them to a rush of wind. So we, with that in mind, we have several examples, and you can see with our markings, we've double underlined each one of these examples. Hai Bisro de Gadya, a Gdi is a young goat. And we can say that it's sensitive type meat when it comes to matters of roasting. Sensitive in the case, in this case, we're talking about a sensitivity to the oven being opened while it's roasting and having a sudden rush of wind upon it. So, Hai Bisro de Gadya, Vishorik, you have the Gedi meat, and the Shorik means that the opening, the lid that opens this oven is sealed. It's sealed with tit, with clay. Shapir domi, a setup of gedi meat in an oven that is sealed, is acceptable. In other words, there's no chashash shemo yechte. He has two things in favor, and they are the fact that the meat, it would be sensitive to the wind, and the fact that the oven is sealed. Another case, De barcha velo sharik. Barcha, Rashi says, is an ayil godol, a large ram, and it's like we call it an adult animal meat, in this case an adult ram. It's a tougher kind of meat, and therefore the sudden rush of wind won't ruin it. And in this case, the oven is not sealed, so he doesn't have that preventive factor either. We say two strikes against this. Therefore, usur. It's forbidden to set up to leave this barcha meat in an unsealed oven, because there is a strong fear that the person might come to stoke the coals. De gadya velo shorik, de barcha v'shorik. Two more examples. if it's the gedi meat, which is the sensitive meat, however, the oven is not sealed, or it's the tough meat, but the oven is sealed, Rav Ashi Shori, Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti Osir. Here you have an Amoraic controversy. Should we allow this or not? Rav Ashi says it's okay, and Rav Yirmiyahu says no. Ula Rav Ashi Deshori, according to Rav Ashi, that as long as you have, let's say, one element in favor of allowing it, the Hotnan, we have the following Mishnah that says, Ein soilin basar, botsol ubeitza, ela kedeshit solu mibo yom. One is not allowed to roast meat, onions, or eggs unless they can be roasted while it's still day, meaning still Friday. In other words, not allowing a roasting setup. Well, why not? So the Gemara answers, Hossam, the case featured in that Mishnah was the case that Rav Ashi would agree is forbidden, the barcha velo shorek. It's the tough meat in an unsealed oven. And there is a fear, even according to Rav Ashi, of one coming to stoke the coals. You'll notice we have a number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating a second Lashon. In other words, we had our examples above, and now we'll go over these examples with a different Lashon, different version. Iko Diamri, Degadya, the other version says, whether if it's the sensitive meat, the Gedi meat, this is a more lenient approach. Bain shorik, bain lo shorik, shapir dummy. Even if it's unsealed, it will be allowed. And that is according to everybody. So that here you have, as opposed to in the first Lashon, in the case of, let's say, Gedi, lo shorik, you would have noticed that was featured in Gimel, case, the first case under Gimel, the Gimel in the first Lashon, there we ran into a machlokes. Here, everyone agrees it's mutter. De barcha nami vishorek shapir domi. If it's barcha, the tough meat, and it's sealed. This was the equivalent of case dalid before. Shapir domi, it's allowed. In other words, these are two cases that we saw before as being controversial. Here, in this Lashon, everyone allows it. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokes? De barcha velo shorik. This barcha velo shorik case was featured above as case bays, where in the first Lashon, everyone seemed to forbid it. The Rav Ashi Shori, Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti Osir. Here, Rav Ashi allows the case of the Barcha Voshok, where it seems that everything is open to stoking. In other words, it's tough meat and it's an unsealed oven, and yet Rav Ashi allows it, and Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti forbids. The Gemara asks, Rav Ashi Deshori Vatnan, but according to Rav Ashi, that allows. What does he do with the following Mishnah? Ein Solin Bosar. In the first Lashon, we explained this was a case of Barcha Velo Shorik, but in this Lashon, we can't say that, because he allows Barcha Velo Shorik. So what does he say about this? Answer, Hosam Bebisro Agomri. Here, we don't have the meat on a skewer, but the meat is directly on the coals. Rashi, Bevisra Gomri, She'eno Betanur, it's not in a tanur, it's not in an oven. Dafilu Kisui Leko, there isn't even a covering. Before we spoke about a covering, but that's unsealed. Here there isn't even a covering. Umuchon Lafuch Bo Velachtos. Here, it's welcoming the flipping over of the meat and the stoking of the coals, which are activities forbidden on Shabbos. Omar Ravina, Hai Korachaya, Kara is a type of vegetation, sometimes associated with a pumpkin or a gourd, but we in Gemara markings don't like to commit ourselves to translations of items that we don't have a very strong tradition on. So we can just refer to it as a kara. Chaya means it's raw. Shapir domi, it would be allowed to put this in a tanur erev Shabbos. Kevon dekoshi le zika, since the wind will ruin it. Kebisra degadya domi, it will be treated like the case of the bisra degadya. And we saw in the most recent Lashon, that would mean even in an unsealed oven, it would be allowed. There's no chashash of his opening up the oven to stoke the coals. The rush of wind would ruin it. We continue. Beishamai Omrim, Ein Mochrim. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin, a machlokis between Beishamai and Beis Hillel, whether one can sell things to a Gentile Erev Shabbos. The Gemara now continues with a Tanaic source elaborating on this topic. Tana Rabbanan. And actually, before we learn the Gemara, let's just glance at our topic heading. Im lahakpid al hagmar lifnei shiachul zman ho'isur. This is a very general type heading that we've given, and that is, should we restrict actions being done even before, in anticipation of their being completed, even before the Zman Isor begins? Now, the reason we phrase this in such a general fashion is because we're going to be including under this heading two separate, seemingly unrelated realms. Number one, Binyone Shabbos, and number two, Chometz Legabi Pesach. And this discussion will continue till Yutes Omer Aleph. So we have a source, Ton Rabbonon, Bei Shamay Omrim Lo Yimko Odom Chetzel Lenochri. A person should not sell something to a Gentile, v'lo yashivlenu, v'lo yilavenu. He shouldn't loan to him a vessel. In other words, he shouldn't come to borrow a vessel, v'lo yilavenu. That's the loaning of cash, v'lo yitein lo b'matona. Nor should you give a nochri a gift, elo kedei shiagia lebeso. Provided, and there's all of this is restricted unless the Gentile could get home Erev Shabbos. In other words, he can get home with the items you provided him before the onset of Shabbos. And even though, after all of these things become the Gentiles, whether it's a gift you gave him or something you sold him that's completely his, and even things that he borrowed are his during the borrowing period, and he's taking these things home for his own benefit. He's not serving the Jew. He's right. All of his conveyance of these items homeward is only for his own benefit. Nevertheless, Beis Shammai is very restrictive, because if we allow this, we might come to allow a case where the Nochri, where the Gentile, functions as a messenger for the Jew. And that would be completely forbidden, having a Gentile carry things for a Jew on Shabbos. The source continues, Beis Hillel oymrim kedei shiagia lebayis asomach l'choyma. Beis Hillel says it would be allowed, even if you don't have enough time Erev Shabbos for him to get home, as long as there's enough time for him to get to the outermost house near the wall of the city, assuming we're dealing with walled city, so that's a demarcation boundary, if you will. The point being, if there's enough time for him to get to that outermost house of the town in which the Gentile lives, that is sufficient. Rashi says, "Bayis asomach l'choyma shel ir acheres shanochri dor sham shayochol ani chosham." He could leave the item over there in the house that's within the wall of that city. The source continues, Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Kidei Shietze mi Pesach Beso. As long as there's enough time for him to leave the house of the Jew. Omar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Hein Hein Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Hillel, Lobo Rabbi Akiva Elo Lefarish Divrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva in this source is not coming to argue with Beis Hillel, but rather he's coming to argue on the interpretation given to Beis Hillel. In other words, the first what we saw in the Mishnah that under this Tanaic source under Beis Hillel, enough time to get to the house nearest within the wall. That's the first opinion of what Beis Hillel says. Rabbi Akiva has his own opinion as to what Beis Hillel's requirement is, namely a much more lenient approach, that the sale or the giving of the item to the Gentile leaves enough time before Shabbos for the Gentile to get out of the Jew's house. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimkor Odom Chemtso Lenochri, Elo Imkein Yodea Bo Shiichle Kodem HaPesach, Divrei Beis Shammai. A Jew shall not sell chometz to a Gentile Erev Pesach, before Pesach, we should say before, not Lav Davke Erev, but before Pesach, unless there's enough time for the, unless the Jew knows that the Gentile will finish it before Pesach. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Kol Zman Shemutu Lochlo, Mutu Lemochro. Beis Hillel says, as long as there's enough, as long as you're allowed to eat it, one's allowed to eat chometz on the 14th of Nisan, the day before Pesach, for a number of hours into the day. So, as long as it's mutter to eat it, it's mutter to sell it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, continuing at the top of Yud Tes Omer Aleph, Kusach HaBavli, V'chol Minei Kusach, Osur Limkor Shloshim Yoyim Kodem HaPesach. Kusach HaBavli is a type of food that has in it chometz. It's a mixture of bread with milk, and it's used as a dip. But a person does not eat this in great quantities. In other words, it's something that a person leaves sitting on his shelf for a long time and uses it sparingly or in small quantities. And therefore, it's not something that's finished off very quickly. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to kusach habavli and other types of kusach, you cannot sell it to the Gentile within 30 days prior to Pesach. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.